Hey, good morning, sister. You heard me. Yes, always, sister. Glory be to God. We are on the wake-up list. God is good. God is good. He loves us, baby. Girl, how you doing this morning? Yes, I will add me to the prayer list. Of course, I already know what it's about. It's about my body, right now.
Yes, people on my knees.
Your nieces?
Yeah, all of
them. All your nieces. I got you. All right, so see, you ready to start greeting? Okay, we got a little time. Let's see. Have you already checked? Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Have anybody joined the call that would like to say good morning? We would love to hear your beautiful sound this morning. God done woke us up. Abba done woke us up with his great plans in mind. Good plans.
Good morning.
It's okay, Ron. It's 5:58. It's 5:58. It's okay. God is good.
Oh, what a blessing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can wake up and, hallelujah, give you praise.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will want the mother Jesus.
He wore to church?
Yeah.
I wish you would have took a picture. I would love to have saw it. I wish Mia would have taken a picture of you. It's okay. I'm pretty sure you'll wear it again. I'm pretty sure you'll wear it again. Okay, come on, let's get focused. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Have anybody else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Welcome to Declare Victory. We would love to hear your beautiful sound this morning. You could wake up this morning and give God praise. Say thank you. We would love to hear your sound.
Good
morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Girlfriend, hey girl, hey Foxy Moxie, hey Declare Victory, good morning.
Yes, good morning, sis. Good morning, we on the wake up list. Hey, we on the wake up list. Hey, God is good. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Yes, she is, Yvonne. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Have anybody joined the call that would like to say good morning? This is the time, you guys, that we say good morning here on Declare Victory. We love to give God just praise and share our sound with good morning because he's just so good to us. And we just want to show love. Anybody else joined the call that would like to say good morning, we would love to hear your beautiful sound this morning.
Good morning, Sister Moxie. Good morning, Declare Victory. Happy Monday to Sister Sabrina.
Hello, Sister Sabrina. Happy Monday. Good to hear your beautiful sound this morning, sis.
Thank you. Same here, sis.
Yes, he does. He does, Yvonne. Glory be to God. What a mighty God we serve. I don't know why this just hit my mind. What a mighty God we serve. I ain't about to blow y'all with my voice, but God is good. He's just a song of my heart. Glory be to God. Hello, welcome to Declare Victory.
Almighty God, we serve.
Yes, that song.
Good morning, it's Pretty Patrice.
Hey, Pretty.
Happy Monday.
Hi, Pretty. Happy Monday. Good morning, sis.
Go on, Yvonne. Come on.
You here? God is so good. Good morning. Hello. Anybody else, you guys? Anybody else would like to say good morning? Please, we would love to hear your beautiful sound. Your beautiful sound this morning. God is so good.
Good morning, Moxie. It's D2. How are you?
Hey, what's up, D2? I'm good. Good to hear you this morning.
Thank you, thank you. Glad to be heard.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's all right. It's good to be heard. God, right. It's good to be seen, and we know he keeps his eye on us. He don't take it off of us. God, thank you. Hey, I just thought about that, too. Glory be to God. Anybody else join the call that would like to say good morning? Welcome to Declare Victory. This is the time we say good morning. Please. We would love to hear your sound this morning. What up, Monica? We say glory, glory. God, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. It's all about you. We glorify you. You are amazing. You are good. You love us. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hello. Welcome to Declare Victory. Have anybody else joined the call that would like to say good morning? We would love to hear your beautiful sound this morning on this magnificent Monday. Who are on the wake up list?
I am.
Hey, ding, 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 ding.
Hi. Good morning, Moxie. How you doing?
Oh, God. Good morning, sis. I am blessed. I'm just smiling. You know, God is good. Celebrating my daughter yesterday, the daughter that made me a mother.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm just smiling. Glory be to God.
Congratulations. Where's Yvonne at?
There she goes. Sound off, Yvonne. He got our back all the time.
All the time, don't he? Yes, he does. Hey, Vaughn.
Thank you, sis.
There
what a mighty God we serve. Hello, you guys. Come on, one more time. Anybody else out there, this is the time we say good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anybody
morning,
else out sir. There like, hello, good morning.
Good morning. This is Cynthia. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning. I'm good, Cynthia. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good to hear your beautiful sound this morning, sis.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Kemper.
Good morning, Kemper. Good to hear your sound this morning, sis. Anybody else?
Good morning, beautiful people. This is Ruth.
Hey, good morning, beautiful sister. Ruth, good to hear your sound this morning, sis. Good to hear you. How about you about to say it's me?
Huh?
Glory be to God. No, I was just joking with you.
I'm up cooking gumbo.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's smelling good. Mm. Hello, anybody else? Welcome to the Clear Victory. Before I get started, I see it's that time. We'd like to say good morning. We would love to hear your beautiful sound this morning, y'all. God is good.
Good morning, Moxie and Yvonne. Good morning. This is Juanita.
Good morning, Juanita. Good to hear you this morning, sis. Okay, it looks like it's that time, Yvonne. Could you mute your phone for me, please? Everybody, could you please look down at your phone and please mute your call? Thank you so much. Oh, glory be to God. Okay, it's time to get started. Please make sure your phone is muted so we can proceed. Hello, my name is Moxie Mona, and the greeting you heard is Yvonne Mary LaShow. And we thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Time and 8 a.m. Central Time and 9 a.m. Eastern Time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Make sure to join us during the month of March, where our monthly theme is entitled Suddenly. Each Declare will focus on the importance of expecting and how to properly respond to a suddenly move from God. Make sure you invite a friend so they can be blessed too. There is one announcement for today. Please join us tonight and every Monday night for Marriage Matters for married couples or married hopefuls. You can call into the same phone number tonight between the hours of 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, or between the hours of 8:30 and 9:30 p.m. Central Time, or between the hours of 9:30 and 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll be happy that you did. Okay, I don't think I saw any prayer on the prayer app, but I hope the prayer warrior checked. I do apologize. Let me check. I don't think I saw any when I checked. Okay, the order of the call, that we have no verbal prayer requests, but Yvonne is asking for us to continue to lift me up in prayer for my for healing in my knees and my hip. And the order of the call is prayer and corporate praise would be brought by Barbara. The declaration would be brought by Waylon. And then we go right into closing comments hosted by the Declare. Once again, the order of the call. Prayer and corporate praise would be brought by Barbara. And the declaration would be brought by Raven. And we go right into closing comments hosted by the Declare. And the scripture for today is coming from Acts 16:26. And it reads, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Glory be to God. Let me read that one more time. It says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands was loosed." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of His holy word. Once again, please look down at your phone. I ask you to mute your phone until instructed to come off mute. I now pass the call to the prayer warrior. You guys have a beautiful, magnificent Monday. I love you guys. God bless.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you, Father, for allowing us all to wake up and see another day, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this line that is open every morning, Monday through Friday, Father, allowing us to learn about you and to support each other, Father. Lord, I just lift up Declared Victory to you, Father, thanking you for them, Lord. Thanking you for Dan's obedience in starting this prayer line, Lord. Lord, I lift up all those under the sound of my voice, those that voiced prayer requests and those that didn't, Father, for you know what's going on in each of our lives, Father. I lift up Yvonne and Moxie to you, Lord, praying for healing for Yvonne's knees and hip, Father. Touch her with your healing hand, Lord Jesus. I lift our country up to you, Father, asking you, Lord, to touch our leaders in a special way, Lord, helping them to know and realize that we can't make it in this world without you, Lord. We have to totally lean on you, Father. Lord, I lift up those that are in the hospitals, Lord Jesus. Go by each room, Father, and touch them with your healing hand, Lord Jesus. For we need you right now like never before, Lord Jesus. I lift up those that are in bereavement, Lord Jesus. Comfort them as only you can comfort them, Lord. I lift up the families of the bereaved, our young people, Lord Jesus. That young man that was shot at a party, Lord, here in Texas, Father. I just lift his family up to you, Father. Praying for that person that did the shooting, Lord Jesus. I ask that you prick his heart, Lord Jesus, and help him to realize that violence just isn't the way, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up our pastors to you, Lord, thanking you for each one of them, Lord, that is under the sound of my voice, and each one that is talking and teaching us about you, Lord Jesus, that we serve you, Father, in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up our city workers and our firemen and our policemen to you, Lord, asking you to touch as only you can touch, Lord Jesus. Those that are going into surgery this morning, Lord, I ask that you go in with them, Lord. Touch those doctors and nurses and help them to know and realize that everything is in your hands, not their hands, Father, but your hands, Lord. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered, you're in our midst, Father, and I just thank you for your presence being here this morning with us, Lord Jesus. I just ask that you would bless each and every person that is on this call this morning, Lord. I say a special prayer for our raven that's going to depart the word this morning, Lord, for I know that there's a mighty word you have for her, for us, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you for that, Father. I just ask that everyone take their phones off of mute and continue to praise God as only we know how to praise God, Lord, thanking him, praising him, and loving him, and letting him know how much we appreciate the things that he does for us, Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord. I just ask that you create in me, Lord, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Hallelujah. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me, Lord Jesus. We just praise you this morning, Lord. We just magnify your name this morning, Lord. We just love you this morning, Lord. I thank you for all those that are speaking and not speaking, Lord. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father. I just praise you this morning, Lord. I just thank you for the things that are going on in my life. As you continue to lead and guide me in the direction of you, the Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, where I know that who you are.
Yes, to your will. Yes, to your way, Lord. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for another day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus,
for no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, Father, for the glory of God to him who loves us. Thank you, Father, for the glory of God to him who loves us. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, and to you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for the glory of God to him who loves us.
I recognize
you, my dear. Yes, Lord.
I'm filled with joy.
Thank you.
Of righteousness and help me to live in a manner that is pleasing to you, Lord. As I go through this day, Father, I ask you for divine guidance and wisdom, Lord Jesus. As we continue on, lead us in the direction that you would have us to go, Father. I just lift these things up to you, Lord, thanking you in advance for what I know you're already working on and doing. I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I pass the call to Raven, and could everyone please put your phones back on mute? Look at your phone, check it to make sure it's on mute for the continuity of the call.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be here on a Monday, starting off the week, right? I know we're 11 days in on suddenly, and the word has like really been going forth this month, and I'm just excited to drop some fresh nuggets this morning. Hopefully some fresh, some we might have already heard, that will reiterate some thoughts or some things, some plans that God has for your life, for my life, for our lives. So I really wanted to just spend some time highlighting a specific encounter. And I don't want us to, I know there's a lot of, like there are genders in the Bible. You got men telling their story or their stories of, then you have the stories of women. But I want to kind of acknowledge that let's put aside the gender and not be so considerate of, you know, this only applies to women or this only applies to men. When we're reading our word, it's very important for us to find ourselves in these stories and find the message that God wants to reveal and the revelation that he wants us to actually experience in what we are reading and what we're studying and what we are, what we're learning in his word. And so I want to talk about something that is very familiar to us, a story that we are all familiar with. And it is a young lady that was dealing with this issue. However, again, I want us to put aside the gender and kind of find ourselves in here at some point. And so I want to discuss with us today the woman with the issue of blood and this situation that she lived through and that she actually survived. The Bible teaches us in a lot of situations, I want us to remember to put our phones on mute also, but there's a lot of situations that that occur in Bible stories and scenarios and things that take place, and some of them didn't turn out the way we expected, but this one was one that I gained satisfaction from, and it shared with me some things that I want to convey and relate to you. Gratefully, I find that stories that are are in the Bible that show up in more than one book are the ones that we should really, 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 really study and take heed to, because if they show up in more than one book, there's more than one message, there's more than one revelation, there's more than one encounter that God potentially wants us to have or to experience. And so I'm going to spend some time right now reading this passage of scripture. I'm going to read from Mark 5 and 25 through 36. This story is also found in Matthew. It's a short account, and Luke is also a short account. I think it's only like 5 verses in Luke and maybe 2 in Matthew. But I want to go through the stretch of Mark because he really, really, really breaks it down in Mark. And so the New International Version reads like this, Mark 5, 25 through 36. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus and synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Verse 36 says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." All right, so pretty much verses 25 through 32 are the main verses here in this passage. So we're going to spend time unpacking this a little bit. And we're going to do it the right way. If y'all are familiar, we're going to do it this, we're going to make it an unorthodox commitment this morning. And so pulling requires a level of strength that rejects the direction of force or gravity, or removes something from its standard position or intended direction. Pulling on something indicates a drawback. It requires some sort of physical strain. And so with the woman with the issue of blood, we hear how she pulled on Jesus's garment. And I want us to think about a time when you had to pull something that was going in the opposite direction, or something that pretty much created strain, especially if it was bigger or stronger than you. My first thought actually is a huge dog dragging its owner down the street. I know many of us have seen this encounter, especially if it was a teenager or a lady that seemed to have a dog that is probably stronger or bigger than her. And the dog may not have been as trained as they intended to believe. And so the owner has to develop a level of resistance with the leash to maintain a sense of control and probably dignity so that they don't go flying down the street. And so I've seen other situations where people have walked down the streets with their dogs and the dog has maintained a sense of training, right? The dog will walk right by the owner's feet. All they would do is probably tighten the leash a little bit so that there's some resistance, but the dog knows, hey, I'm here and I'm in control, and you're not going to run over me. You're not going to pull me down the street. That dog is respecting the expectation of the owner. That dog is well-trained. That dog has some coof about him, if you will. And so occasionally, even in the situation with a more trained dog, sometimes to get that dog's attention, the owner may have to suddenly yank the dog, like, hey, I'm here, right? To remind them because they are still a dog. And so I want to acknowledge a title of a sudden pull. And so unfortunately or fortunately, depending on if you believe the cup is half empty or the cup is half full, then you can examine or have a precept of the Bible maybe not disclosing this woman's name. We never discovered her name. It doesn't say who she was. It says where she was from and what she experienced. and it says what she suffered with. And so since the beginning of the scriptural text, we have only known or identified this woman as a label of her condition, the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know if her name was Vicky. We don't know if it was Shantisha, Sharquasia, Yvonne, Keisha, Tisha, what DMX say? Because y'all know, y'all know. we don't know her name, right? So we only are able to identify her based on her condition. And so I believe that many of us can attest to this perception. For a lot of us in the Black community, that's how we got our nicknames, right? We were nicknamed after an experience or a physical difference, good or bad. You had Cousin Cookie got her name from eating up all the Oreos at Grandma's house from 30 years ago, and the name stuck. Or you'll hear something like this. I just saw James the other day. Which James? Dirty James. You remember Dirty James from the YMCA? That's how we identify people sometimes. It's not always correct. It's not always politically correct or morally valuable, but that is how we, in our community sometimes, that is how we identify people. And it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong. Sometimes it's indifferent. Sometimes it's downright shady. And so this woman suffered from vaginal bleeding for 12 years and was extremely desperate for a life change. She was desperate for a breakthrough, desperate for wholeness, and desperate for supernatural healing. She was desperate for a peace of mind, for life to reach some sort of comfortable normalcy. What she had been used to experiencing for 12 years was completely uncomfortable. And so being a woman, I imagine that not only did she suffer from the discharge of blood or bleeding, but it was constantly, and that it was also excruciatingly painful, constant abdominal cramping, fatigue, disorientation in the mind. I mean, probably pissed off every second of the day. if you think about it, it just sounds terrible. It sounds like something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And so according to Jewish law, this woman was considered ceremonially unclean and would sort of be the poster child for 2 Corinthians 6:17, touch not the unclean thing, if you would. So she was pretty much expected to be isolated based on her situation, something she could not control. And so the Bible doesn't disclose this. However, I do believe that if she had a family, they were impacted greatly. If she had a spouse, that man was impacted greatly. She was probably still expected to serve her family by putting aside her agony to still care for them and perform the usual responsibilities, cooking, cleaning, serving, you have it, you name it. So as her desperation increased, so did her determination. And so while she was perceived as unclean, she fought through the condemnation of those around her. And while no doctor or physician had enough resources or expertise to answer her 12-year problem, I do imagine that her faith in people had absolutely run out. After 12 years, I can imagine that her faith in her future didn't stand a chance either. Her faith that she could still be healed didn't run out, though. That was the one thing that she was able to manage and to give it another shot. And I imagine that every new year of suffering, she was challenged. Here comes January 1st on year one. Here comes January 1st on year two. January 1st all the way through 12 years in a row. There was no new year, new me mantra. There wasn't a famous new year meme of her stepping out of all these old things, these boxes in her cute heels, and stepping into a new era. Instead, this woman marked her mental calendar every year, still plagued with uncertainty, plagued with the unknown, plagued with doubt, plagued with fear, plagued with anxiety, plagued with being an outcast, and plagued with no answers. She didn't know, right? And so nobody could depend on her to support her. Imagine how that feels. Nobody could empathize with her experiences because in this time, we don't have any other account of this happening to anybody else. Nobody understood her pain, her agony, her grief, her confusion, her desperation and constant trauma with no relief. I mean, constant. Having to change herself excessively and not having the resources or tools that we have today to help manage that type of situation. Having to be self-conscious and reminded of her condition constantly and having to face herself in that way. She obviously couldn't Google the symptoms for a resolution. That wasn't a viable resource at that time. And I'm certain she was depressed. I'm certain she cried herself to sleep nightly. I'm certain she contemplated if it were better that she didn't even live and that death would be her only escape from a living death sentence. I'm certain she questioned her future and the value she provided to her family and those around her. I'm certain she questioned how much of a future she even had left. And so because of her quality of life, she was shaken. But, and I believe that this woman struggled with extreme thoughts of shame and defeat, wondering constantly who was judging her by the condition she lived with, and probably also wondered, why me? And so scientific research supports that losing an excessive amount of blood eventually results in organ failure and untimely death. And so the purpose of blood circulating through the body, I know many of us are familiar with this. If you're not, then you will learn some brand new scientific news today. The purpose of blood circulating through the body is to transport oxygen to our organs and to our cells. And so the more blood one loses, the symptoms worsen. Symptoms like confusion or disorientation, rapid breathing and anxiousness, leaving the body unable to efficiently sustain itself as it was designed to. So that constant bleeding would cause these symptoms to take place. And so the physiological effects of hemorrhaging, which is what she experienced, can be depletion of the venous reservoirs, failure to maintain systemic blood pressure, a deterioration to death by vicious cycles. I'm going to repeat that last one. Deterioration to death by vicious cycles. And so major blood loss like this is called hypovolemic shock. Okay. And while there are many physiological effects of this deadly emergency, the one that hangs heavy is the deterioration to death by vicious cycles. I want us to kind of hang out there a minute. And so at some point in life, I believe we all have had a hand dealt with trauma, right? Others can identify with having endured years of being bound in traumatic cycles, warring with depression, anxiety, extended bouts of stress, etc. Sometimes those tend to be some people's testimony, and there's no shame in that, especially when you serve a God who can bring you out. And so you still show up to work, right? You still show up for your families, you still show up for your spouses, you still show up to serve in ministry. But you're bleeding out constantly, you're hemorrhaging. And so the hypervolemic shock causes spiritual deterioration to death by those same vicious cycles. We know death is imminent, right? But we're sometimes so consumed with the pain of our experiences and the pain of not having or knowing how to stop the bleeding that we spend countless nights wrestling with what I like to call the B-matitudes. I know we're familiar with the B-attitudes, but then I have this thing that I consider, or I like to call the B-matitudes. It's the opposite of the B-attitudes. The B-matitudes are the negative self-talk that we feed ourselves when doubt and unbelief have crept in and seeped into our spiritual makeup. And it's all the trifling what ifs. What if this doesn't work? What if this happens? And I don't, what if this? That's the B-matitudes. And so this woman understood that she had a severe problem. And she understood that she needed this thing to be resolved as quickly as possible. She understood that she was on borrowed time. She knew she was on borrowed time. She also knew that the goal was to stop the bleeding, but the question was how. And so how would she gain peace? How would she gain hope? How would she gain a better quality of life, one that reflected triumph, one that reflected smiling? I'm sure she struggled to smile daily. I'm sure her prayer life was in shambles. It doesn't mean that she wasn't praying, but it's something when you've been praying for something for years and you feel like God does not hear you. And so I know she was used to losing. I know she didn't know how to win anymore after 12 years of long suffering. I couldn't even imagine the internal torment that she faced. 12 years of being stigmatized, body shamed, viewed, labeled, and outcasted by her condition. Her peers just counted her out. You know, like, why don't you just die? I'm certain that was the situation. And because I know how cruel and how judgmental people can be when we experience or when we witness a situation that we don't understand happening to somebody else. Instead of putting ourselves in their shoes, we begin to judge them. And why they didn't do this? That's probably because she probably dealing with that because she was with that man. Or, you know, there are so many scenarios that we decide, and I'm saying we, because we decide, this is not God's decision, we decide to label people according to the witnessing of their condition. Excuse me. And people I know have sometimes done the same thing to us, casting us to the side, counting us out in our worst season. You knew the solution that was there. You knew what it was. You just didn't have the capacity to fashion or fathom how to get there. And so I want to share with us the good news. And the good news today is there's a significance in the number 12. It represents fullness and completeness. I know we've seen 12 all of our lives, from 12 eggs making a dozen, 12 inches making a foot, 12 months in a year, 12 hours making up morning and evening time frames, 12 disciples, 12 apostles, if we want to go biblical, 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 official tribes of Israel, 12 minor prophets, 12 a.m. starting a new day, 12-year-old Jesus displaying his desire to be about his father's business before he got in trouble by his parents. I know that 12 has proven itself time and time again to hold a significant value in its representation. So this woman's suffering wasn't complete until she endured for 12 years. So in this 12th year, physically, she was closer to death than she'd ever been before, more confused than she'd ever been before. But also in this 12th year, she was closer to new than she'd ever been before. In this 12th year, she decided not to quit, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how dumb she looked. She refused to accept defeat. She pressed her way. And I know many of us have struggled so many times to press our way, pressing beyond how you feel and pressing into what you know. And so this woman had no more money. She had no more options. She ran out of money. She ran out of options. But she maintained hope, resting in a last-ditch effort. She mastered and mustered up enough courage, enough strength, enough determination to seek Jesus out. She pushed until she had to pull, and that's all she had to do was pull. And so have you ever been in a place of one more? I know I have. Like, you know, God, I'm exhausted, right? I'm scared. I'm hurt. I'm frail. I'm delirious. I'm drained. I'm frustrated, confused, and all of the above. I'm all of the symptoms, right? I got all of the symptoms. All of the red lights are going off, and I'm ready to give up, but I got one more push in me. But this push has to count. This last push has to lead me to pull through to you. And I'm determined to get to you. If you don't do it for me this time, God, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm capable of. And many of us on here bear witness to the desperation that this woman experienced. And I know there's something special about committing to holding on until something in your life changes. And as women, we are confident. And we specialize in that. And there's a lot of men who depend on us to pull and push through. And so that we have to be in that space to represent that. And I know there's a lot of women who depend on men to do the same thing. This is not just a woman thing. This is a human thing. This is a mankind. This is a mankind represents all people. We all have these experiences. But what we cannot do is succumb to weariness in well-doing. We don't get the luxury of choosing how long we suffer. Obviously, we are just expected to be advocates for long suffering because we are called to suffer well. That is what God has called us to. Endurance is what refines us and builds faith. It builds spiritual muscle and it builds good character. And I want us to know that we can't be something until we go through something. So anything that I want to be, anything that you want to be, you got to go through a little bit of something to get to that place, right? You can't, and it's not a free ride. We don't get a scholarship to the other side. Nah, we got to pay. We got to cough up something. There's got to be an exchange. And so I'm sure this woman spent the entirety of those 12 years asking God why, asking him how to heal her, asking him to heal her and make her whole. 12 years later, not only did he do it, but he did it suddenly. He didn't send a disciple this time. He didn't send a ram. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a messenger or anything else. He showed up. And so many times we experience God using others to reach us at our point of need. But then there's that real desperation, that real desperate situation where it's like, God, I thank you for the ram in the bush. I thank you for your messenger. I thank you for the bird that I saw today. But in this one, God, I need you to show up. This one, I can't. Nobody else can do this. Nobody else can show up in proxy. I don't need a prophet in this one. I need you to show up in this one. So this woman waited for 12 years to meet Jesus. And for some of us, we've been waiting 12 years to meet Jesus. For some of us, we have not had the encounter that we have been waiting for so desperately for years and years and years. This woman waited for a personal encounter with the Lord. And as she approached this moment, I imagine the internal warfare creeping in strong. Those beatitudes showed up. The beatitudes showed up large and in charge. You had Satan in flesh arguing and trying to convince her to stand down. Every negative thought went through her head. Every option of adversity, I'm sure she entertained it. I'm sure she entertained it all. I'm sure she warred with it internally, and I'm sure she warred with it externally. I'm sure she warred with, it's not worth it, girl. All these people around, girl, he ain't got time for you. All these people's problems way bigger than yours. You know, this is a dumb idea. Just go home, suffer, die. You know, you're not even supposed to be here around these people. Unclean, unclean. You know, what if they see you in the crowd? You're just as dead as you are, you know, as you could have been, or worse off than you were. You're dead. You're better off as dead now. Or what if it doesn't even work? How will you even reach him and all these other people trying to get to him? I'm certain that she wrestled with these thoughts. If I imagined myself in this predicament, I'm certain that these would be the thoughts that I would face. These beam attitudes, these what ifs, all of these things that are negative self-talk and negatively convincing myself that this is a possibility that could never take place. But these thoughts and possibilities didn't stop her. Nothing stopped her. She made up in her mind, come hell or high water, that she would get to this man she heard about. She decided to crawl through the anxious, trampling feet of hundreds of other desperate people who also needed to try him, some possibly needing him more than her, but she didn't stop. Her hands probably bled from being stepped on. She'd probably been kicked more than once, but none of that stopped her from getting to Jesus. She decided that if he wasn't real, and it wouldn't be because she didn't try him for herself, if he wasn't real, she was going to try it. She was going to try it. She was the poster child for, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if he wouldn't heal her, she'd find out on her own. However, what she'd heard about him was good enough to push her through this crowd of other broken people. And we generally don't like to discuss how we experience seasons of isolation. And I'm not talking about hiding. Hiding and isolating are two different things in this context. I'm actually talking about the seasons of isolation that God sends us into for development. Seasons where we experience deep pain and the Father sends us into seclusion so that we are not enticed by the normal distractions to ignore our vulnerabilities, nor ignore our pain, ignore the revelation that God wants us to experience, not just to understand, but to experience it. And so that we're not jaded by certain things or people around us, so that we can reevaluate, refocus, and realign with God's will for us. And when we're wounded and suffering through seasons, it's equivalent to someone with a limb injury. We often hear things like, stay off that foot, or elevate that knee. I remember hearing my grandma say things like that growing up when somebody hurt themselves. Elevate your knee, stay off that foot. Don't do that, because you're gonna make it worse. You need to elevate it, get the swelling down, right? You need to recuperate a little bit. And so when we're dealing with heart matters, when we're hemorrhaging, when we're dealing with issues of blood, God wants us to he wants us to get on our knees and seek him. He doesn't want us to elevate that foot. He doesn't want us to elevate that knee. He don't want us to stay off that foot. He wants us off our feet and on our knees seeking him and finding his face in our issues and situations, and giving us the opportunity to put ourselves in his presence without distractions. And so at that point, we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And as long as we don't faint, we have to choose not to faint. Fainting is, in this situation, a choice. This woman chose not to faint. She could have. She was losing lots of blood. She very well could have passed out at any moment. But her determination dictated the future of her life. And so if we can press through the crowd and just get to Jesus, then there's more than enough in a single pool for him to feel the desperation in our suffering. And I believe that that's more than enough for him to respond to our pain. That's more than enough for him to say, who touched me? That's more than enough for him to recognize our push was a little bit different than the other pushes he felt from other people. This time it came with a pull, right? He's drawn to the pull, y'all. God is drawn to the pull. He's drawn to the desperate and near to the brokenhearted. No matter how long you've been struggling, and no matter what you've been struggling with, I'm closing here. Just push through and pull on him. You've got time. Right. And although you're on borrowed time means I still got time. And I know we like to think of things on a time frame, but God's time is not our time. His ways are not our ways. He doesn't acknowledge things the way we acknowledge them. He doesn't see them the way that we see them. And we've got to believe that it all takes time. It takes a little time. We've got to believe that all it takes is for him to make us whole. One little encounter. And for us to become whole, I believe we first have to live through brokenness. And so we have to be desperate enough to come to the end of ourselves to find Jesus and pull on him to say, until he says, who touched me. And until he says, your faith has made you whole, he didn't say my faith. He didn't say my miracle working hands. He didn't say anything. He predicated and he delegated her wholeness on her faith. She had to believe. She had to push through. She had to pull on him a little bit. Imagine all of the people that had a missed opportunity because they were just in proximity and they didn't have the faith enough to pull on Jesus. They didn't have the faith enough to connect with him. They didn't have the faith enough to say, you know what? I'm going to throw my pride to the side. It's not even a pride issue. I'm going to pull on this man. I'm going to pull on his cloak. And if you really analyze and examine the situation and the scenario, he recognized something that was different. And I imagine that it was somewhere on the bottom. I know we've seen pictures of a lady pulling on his garment or his cloak down toward the bottom. She probably didn't have enough strength to get any higher, but that yank, that pull, and if we compare it to that of when I said earlier about a dog pulling on the leash, that one little yank, that one tug can get your attention. And I imagine that's what happened in this scenario. And so lastly, I believe that God is saying to some of us, I'm redeeming you. And I'm redeeming the time that you thought you lost. I'm redeeming and restoring the years that the locust ate. According to Joel 2:25, I'm restoring unto you the joy of salvation. Nothing you've experienced, nothing that I've allowed can outlive my grace. I have allowed these things to refine you. I have called you to suffer long so that you could learn to recognize that I am. And it has taken you this long to see me the way that you see me now, because I've tried to show you that I exist. I've been here all along and I've watched you and carefully. And I've watched how you've matriculated through storms. Instead of trusting me in some situations, you've purchased umbrellas and you grab shields when I am the shield. And no harm came upon you even then. You're still here. You're here because I am. You're here because I'll always be. And when you finally see me in your situation, I will rescue you. And if you feel like you are still in a pit, seek me so that I can show you where to find me. I'm not silent. You are where you are because you need me. And when you call on my name, when you pull on me, I'll answer. And so, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the encounter that we had today in your presence. And I thank you that we are able to see you. We are able to push through the crowd. God, I thank you that even in our darkest moments, even in grief, even in suffering, even in long suffering, even in situations where we feel like there's an abundance of uncertainty, that there is no clarity, there are clouds blocking our vision. And one thing I'm reminded about clouds is they are not permanent fixtures. They move on. And so, Father, give us the ability to wait a little while to watch the clouds move on, and that we would continue to work in your vineyard until our day comes. And so that we would push through our situations, that we would push through the pain, and that we would persist through the encounters that we live through, that there is survival even in our suffering. And so we thank you that there's a sudden pull in our lives. And even for those of us who may have been struggling and been pushing, show us how to pull, that it's not always about the push. Sometimes it's about the pull, and a sudden pull at that, God. Give us the strength to encounter you in a special way, and give us the strength to wait on you, because you have and you will show up again. And so we thank you, and we ask that you would govern our hearts today as we continue to navigate our different seasons of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we are going to move on into the furthering of the call. I'm going to, if you are familiar, most of us know how the call goes, and we are going to open up the call for first timers who've never called in before to just say good morning and just want to say, hey, this is the perfect opportunity for that. However, we're going to let the gentlemen go first. And if there are no gentlemen that want to go first, then we will open the door to the ladies, because we can be really excited and kind of push the guys out of the way. So we want to give them the opportunity first to say good morning. And again, if this is your first time, we're going to let you have that opportunity first. And then we're going to go to the gentlemen and allow them to greet us. All right. Good morning, y'all. Good morning. Good morning. Anybody want to say good morning? Good morning. Good morning. Okay, we don't have any first timers. Uh-oh, I hear somebody coming off mute. False alarm, maybe? Maybe somebody was just jumping in. Okay, so we're going to move on. Excuse me, if there are anybody else that want to jump in and say good morning, this is the appropriate time to say good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Good. How are you doing?
Girl, I'm so good. I'm better now that I hear your voice.
Good. You're doing so good. You're doing so good.
I love you. Thank you.
She's the worst. She's the worst.
Period. Oh, my goodness. Anybody else want to say good morning?
Good morning, Raven. It's Nakia.
Hey, girl.
Time. You know, I just experienced this whole message this morning.
Lord, see, God is good. Because me too. It's better when you can experience it first. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Anybody else want to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Leomia.
Good morning, Mama Leomia. Thank you so much. Anybody else want to say good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Jubilant. And somebody else was saying good morning as well.
This is Joyful. Good morning. Great declaration. Thank you.
Good morning, Joyful. Anybody else want to say good morning?
Good morning. It's Carla.
Hey, Carla. Good morning, girl.
Good morning.
All right. Anybody else want to say good morning?
Good morning, Sister Lisa. Hey, hey.
Good morning. Hey, 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 girl.
Good morning, Little Mercy.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all good? All right.
I'm
well,
good,
anybody
ma'am.
Else want to say good morning?
Good morning.
Anybody?
This is Adrian Clark. Good morning. It is hello. I have on my professional voice because I'm at work, but to God be the glory.
You know what? Bye. Good morning. Oh, that's my friend. Good morning. Anybody else want to say good morning? Anybody else want to say good morning? Good morning. Nobody else wants to say good morning? All right, good. Cool. So what we're going to do is, y'all know what time it is. We're going to move on into the love, life, and victory portion of the call where we get to kind of have some dialogue, open discussion about what was shared, if there was some insight or God dropped a little nugget on you, or if you just want to share your experience. If there is an experience you want to share, we're going to keep it tight and we're going to keep it right like we did in testimony service at church, in the old school church, where it was like, all right, keep it short, keep it simple. But we definitely want to offer the opportunity for us to just have a open dialogue where we can share and we can just kind of feed off of each other and encourage each other, even in this season. I know this can be applicable to all of us. It does not have to be, again, as I said earlier, it's not gender. There's no gender in this situation. Men don't necessarily have a cycle, but they do have a cycle. Y'all hear me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen. Right. Amen.
Period.
Raven.
Yes. Yes.
Did you say the B Matitudes? I'm so mad at you for calling me out like that. I'm hecka mad at you.
Listen, them B Matitudes be eating me up. Hey. Girl, listen. It'd be like that sometimes where you just get in a little funk and you be sitting there just talking down to yourself instead of talking up to God. And it's just like, okay, I got to get out of this because my whole attitude has shifted because of me and these beam attitudes. And I got to climb out of this rut.
Right. Right. And not so much, but just being mad at him telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't the
mm-hmm.
boss of me, but yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But yes,
real,
you are. It's that but. But yes, you is.
The whole boss of me.
The whole one. And he's like, I'm not going to twist your arm, but I am.
Right. Hey, great share. Says I was sitting here thinking, and I don't know why this movie, that Nobody's Fool movie, came to me, and how we always talk about, I know Jesus, and we all trying to make people think that we know who he is, and we steady mm-hmm. saying, but for real, he's gonna call me at 12. And remember the scene where they were sitting around, they had the cameras and it was waiting and he never showed up. But it made us, because we talk about mm-hmm. him, but we really don't know him. you know, and it's a trip because she knew that there was something. You talk about that 12, man, it was so dope. I just thought about it, you know, that suddenly day. We talk about that come to Jesus meeting. That's exactly what it was. Come to him, knowing who he is, getting what we need. So yeah, Grace shares this. You just cut me up with the B attitude. So I'm okay now. I'm gonna study the B attitudes. I'm gonna get it together. I love you, sis. Grace share.
I love you too. Thank you so much. Anybody else want to chime in?
This is Joyful.
Hey, Joyful.
Hey there, great declaration. You know, it was very loaded. I want to say that I really, I appreciated the entire declaration, but quickly, as you shared about her name and nicknames, never really having drawn that parallel that absolutely there are different accounts in scripture where we might know this person, James and John, the son of Zebedee. Right. Some people don't say that, or the sons of thunder, but that really stood out that there really are delineations and ways in which we identify people, and they really do have a name, but it's because everybody knows you by this, that's why they called you. So that I'm really sitting with that, and I'm going to go and study some more things about people that lived in that time to see just some more stuff. So that really, really got my attention. So thank you for the entire thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your feedback. Anybody else want to share?
Morning, Ray. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Sorry, it's Dee. Dee sound like Maddie. But I thank you for your word. I'll just say this real quick. Beam attitude is gonna set a whole new journal for me, because that long suffering part of fruit of the spirit, I think we overlooked that. And that negative self talk, oh my God, you could talk about that, because as believers, I've never in my life heard so many believers do self-negative talk, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not really believe in God, even when we say we're praying or we ask for prayer, but we're not even believing that he can do that stuff suddenly. So no matter what we're going through, so you woke me up with that beam attitude. I've already posted about it. I had to nudge Maddie. I was like, listen, babe. So I thank you, a little Mercy, for blessing us this morning. I'm going to go on back on mute before I get in trouble for sounding like a dude. I love you, girl.
Love you, too. Anybody else want to share?
Good morning. This is Pamela. Thank you so much for the declaration. You're absolutely right. I know. You know, Dee Dee was talking about the negative talk. I know this neuropsychologist down in LA. His name is Dr. Amos, David Amos, and he wrote a book. I think it was called Stinking Thinking. And he talks how this negative thought can creep in, and he referred to it as ants. And it's automatic negative thinking or automatic negative thoughts that will stink in, seep in. And, you know, a lot of times we know people who are just always negative. They go outside, they see, you know, things, and, you know, we always look at the glass, you know, they're looking at the glass half full, you know, and they'll, you know, see it raining and they're, you know, mad about it or, you know, thinking negative about it. And, you know, it's important that we not get caught up in that.
Absolutely.
And that we, you know, look at it as God watering the earth, or, you know, just, you know, not get
it's
caught up in that negative thinking. Yeah. So your declaration was just so on point and, you know, just truly blessing. So I just thank you. You know, just really spoke to me. So thank you so much. You are just such a blessing.
Thank you so much. God be praised. Anybody else want to share?
Yeah, good morning, Raven. This is Jubilant.
Jubilant, girl.
This is so beautiful. I mean, you gave such a beautiful depiction through word imagery on, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, and you know what? As you were telling the story, I put myself in that picture. you opened the door for me to put myself in that picture, and I saw myself pressing through. When I would, you know, all the issues that I've had up until now, you know, just taking that journey with Jesus, right?
Mm.
And that place where you're talking about that pivotal moment when nothing else can do, nothing else or no one else, you know, can do at this moment, but you need to see Jesus. You need to hear Jesus. It was just so beautiful. So beautiful, especially in this day and time right now. You know, just a reminder, just keep pressing through. Just keep pressing through. Mm-hmm. You know, he will take care of everything. You know, we just got to keep our eyes focused on him and keep pressing through. And sometimes you got to crawl. It don't matter how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just keep your eyes focused and get there, you know. And that's how that's how it was unpacking for me. I'm just pressing through day to day, you know, even the mental images I have of myself or my situation. This morning was like, Juliet, press through. Thank you for that. Thank you for
Absolutely. Anybody else want to share?
Hey, Raven. This is Glorious. Hey. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you.
How are you?
Thank you for the wonderful song you're singing to us, as well as your declaration, especially the declaration. So I'm with everybody else that's talked about the Beatitudes. I'm like, oh, man, I never thought about it as it is actual contradiction to the Beatitudes, how he told us to have our attitude. And then the attitude is not so much with everybody else. It starts first with the attitude, the bad attitude, that in the midst of whatever it is I'm dealing with, I got to get through the fight of me against that and address the fact that I made a post, I think yesterday or the day before, every decision is an act of war. So until I stop fighting against God, fighting against myself, one way or the other, I got to stop fighting and trust and surrender to him. So I thank you so much. I thank God for you, and you have a good day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Anybody else want to share? Anybody else want to share this morning? We're talking about the woman with the issue of blood and her sudden pull that got Jesus' attention and made her whole. Anybody else want to share? There's something that I wanted to highlight, and that is that we have not the ability to understand how valuable we are to God until we experience his virtue. And this woman had that experience, and we really, 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 again, I can't stress enough that we do not understand how valuable we are to God until we experience his virtue, until we experience Him a transfer, right? Him giving us beauty for ashes, so to speak, you know. And I find it very intriguing and interesting that she had this experience for 12 years and then it suddenly occurred. And while we complain about going through something for a couple weeks, we complain about 2 years, and there is nothing, I can be honest and say, there is nothing that has been in my life that was just as painful as this situation. I have nothing in my life that can compare to this. No loss, no nothing can compare to 12 years of bleeding constantly. I couldn't imagine. And I know this is probably not the only account in history, but in the Bible, this is the only account of this type of situation. And it paints and it illustrates the perfect picture of what to do versus what not to do. And she showed us what resilience looks like. She showed us what we should pursue in our own situations, in our own life. So does anybody else want to share?
Yeah, right. It's me. It's Dee Dee again. You made me think about the 27 years that I suffered, you know, when I had my first baby and he was stillborn. And so I related to the woman of the issue of blood because I was holding on to that, right? And when you said no pain, that was the biggest pain I've ever felt. But that suddenly, he gave me beauty for ashes suddenly. But it even though it took 27 years of suffering and night terror, and it still was a suddenly. Because like today, he's giving me beauty for ashes with a whole person. Like he really gave me a son that was exactly the same age that my son would have been. And he looks like I birthed him. So you can't tell me God's not real. I promise you. And just the other day,
I was having my wall slide, and my other son, his name's Kariga, he was calling looking for my son, Armani, that birth, but he called me. He said, Mama, I was trying to call Armani, but he was supposed to call me because that boy blessed my soul. So, yeah, suddenly mm-hmm. it's real. And that, yeah, that 12 years, it was 27. It was 27 mm-hmm. for me, so I get it. I had to. Yeah. I had to because I would have died in that state of depression, functioning, mm-hmm. right? Married yeah. with kids, but I was letting that thing eat me up. That long suffering was eating me up. So I'm just grateful, mm-hmm. and I thank you for this share, too.
Absolutely. Love you so much. Anybody else want to share?
Good morning. This is Prosperous. I just came in towards the end. I missed the declaration. Good morning. But I love the comments. I had a visual. I don't know if I'm going to repeat it right. But when someone was talking about pressing through, the pressing through part in life and the Beatitudes, I missed the beam attitude part, but the suffering, that long suffering. And I don't know, I just had you never know what you say when it's going to bless someone. Because this man, and he was a great pastor of a singles ministry I was in the 90s. But I literally remembered what he said right when someone was saying pressing through. And that was, he was like up there on the podium, but he was like saying, I want to be like, you know how you like rush into something or like kind of like I made it. And he said, that's how I'm going to want to be when I make it into heaven. And it's almost like when he did it, it was like, you know, he went through all that, but he made it, like the transition. Mm. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I just had that visual, and it was really good. So I hope that blesses someone. Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed one, too. Thank you so much for sharing. Anybody else want to share?
Hey, Raven. I was not going to say anything. I said this process for me is recent, and I was like, I don't want to be that person. They'd be like, you know what? Your testimony too long. Sit down, sis. But
come
I was
on,
like,
friend.
I'm gonna just bring. But I do want to just bring up this one point because this thing has me like really bubbling over this morning. So thank you for the invite. But you know, mm-hmm. tomorrow will be 6 weeks post surgery from the hysterectomy, and mm-hmm. I've been battling fibroids for almost 20 years now and dealing with the mm-hmm. issue of blood and heavy bleeding even up until the day before my surgery. It was almost like my uterus was going out with a whole bang.
Mm-hmm.
But dealing with the low energy and the fatigue, and it got to the point of like shortness of breath all the time. So
mm-hmm.
literally just last night I was like, man, I literally was in the same boat as the woman with the issue of blood. And it's so funny that that's your message today, because I literally thought about that before going to sleep last night. And I said, but this was 20 years, like almost 20 years dealing with this and dealing with fibroids. And the come to Jesus moment for me was I had battled because I didn't want to have another surgery. I had already been cut open for both of my children and also for a previous fibroid surgery. So I was prolonging this surgery, but my uterus was literally killing me because I was so severely anemic. And finally, I was like, you know what, I guess I just have to get it done. And then I still was battling because I said, every person that I spoke to, women that are over the age of 40 who have had children, all have had hysterectomies. And it was so alarming to me because I said, why is this so common with Black women that this is what we have to go through and we have to do this? So then I started fighting for that. And God never even told me that's my battle to fight. But I was like, no, God, I know you could do it because he healed this on the side of my face where the doctor told me I was going to get cut open from my ear down to the middle of my neck. I told the doctor, I said, absolutely not. I'm going to fast and pray and God's going to heal me. And God did it. Literally on the third day of my fast, like, he healed that cyst on the side of my face. So I know God could do it. So I just kept saying, like, God, why aren't you healing me from these fibroids? Like, I don't want to have another surgery. I don't want to go through this. I'm tired. I'm, tired of bleeding so much. And God just didn't do it. And it was like one of those things that I had to see another side of God, that it's not my will, but thy will be done. And God wanted me to have the surgery. And I was laying in bed one day and I was just like, God, like, I know you can remove these fibroids. I know you can do this miraculous work. And he was like, but I'm preventing you from having cervical cancer. I'm going to prevent you from having ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I need you to have it all removed. And I was like, all right, God. So finally I got this surgery done 6 weeks ago, tomorrow. And, I feel so much better, even though I still feel in my spirit, like, why do Black women have to go through this? And why is this so common in our culture? I do feel better, and I'm grateful that I did get it done. And I just saw, another side of my husband. It was just such a blessing this surgery had for me and my family as a whole. But it was one of those things where I really had to be like, you know what, not my will, but thy will be done. Because just because you did it that way last time doesn't mean you have to do it the same way all the time. But I'm still going to be healed from it. But just not my way, but your way for it to be done. But thank you so much. This was so good.
Yes, ma'am. Not my will, but your will be done. That's probably the hardest declaration. I can speak for myself and say that sometimes it's the hardest declaration for me to say. And I will say it's because of the unknown. When you say not my will, that is relinquishing your own control and transference of God taking control. And you don't know what decision he has in hand. You don't know what that journey looks like. You don't know what it's going to feel like. You don't know the impact it's going to make. All you know that it's going to be well. And so if we just hold on to the it will be well, then everything else I can deal with everything else, right? Even though it's uncomfortable for me to have these experiences, it's uncomfortable for me to have to deal with the, I might still struggle with the what ifs until God is in that present time transferring my mind. He's changing things around me and changing my perspective. And I have to give him that leisure and that aptitude to say, hey, look, let me take care of this. I got this because I had it all before. So thank you so much for sharing your testimony. That, like, man, for real. Whew. Anybody else want to share?
Hey, right. One more time. when you talked about all the years that she spent going to physicians, and I talked to my friend and he said to do this, and I talked to her, she said do this, but not until she heard the true word, until she was exhausted. You talked about all of that, until she was exhausted and it was time for her to hear that the chief physician was in town.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of times we spend our times spinning our wheels, and we hear, that's why it's so important to be able to share certain things, but it's our responsibility to search that word out. So we share with one another, but this is a time, y'all, where we have to take accountability, and we have to know beyond what we know, what we don't know, to learn to know what we should know. So it sounds, crazy, but it is what it is. If we don't really, how can we expect things to happen when we talk about them, but we don't know them?
Yep. Because we can easily talk about something we don't know. We do it all the
right.
time.
Jesus right. And we want the real result, but you can't get the real result if you don't have the real data, if you don't have the real.
Yep.
Come on. So that's why it behooves us. Don't let nobody stomp you from getting what you need. When you know that it's real, what is real and how to get there, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit has told you how to get there, make your way. As I can hear my sister say, make haste. That's what the Bible says. Tells us to make haste.
Do it quickly.
Quickly. Don't look back. If the Lord told you to do it, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me first off. Because I know if you don't do it, just like your friend just said, the Lord told her, my plan is for you.
Yeah, yeah,
and she wouldn't have never known if she didn't pray and talk to him. So yes, that's that. And congratulations, sis. Thank God on your healing and your prosperity and every area of your life. Good health.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I think it's important for us to remember that we have limitations. And we know that we are fallible. We know that we fail. We know that we are not all seeing and all knowing. And that's the beauty of our human nature, is that we don't know. And so that is also the mimicking beauty, that we serve a God who does. And so when we have to make a decision, I have to end here. I have to stop here at my limitations, and I have to let God pick up the slack with his unlimitations. I know unlimitation is not a word, but he's unlimited, right? He has all access to all. He's the creator of all. And so I have to come to the end of myself to give God an opportunity to show his best work. That's it. Like, he cannot show me the best version of himself if I'm too busy standing in the way. And so I think this was a situation of suddenly that we don't really like to deal with. We don't like to deal with, I've gone through this process, but then suddenly showed up. We want the suddenly when I say suddenly. As soon as the S roll off our tongue, we want it to happen at that moment. And sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes we have to go through a process. And like my friend Nikki was sharing, like, that was a process for her. And so while it was uncomfortable, it got her to a point of suddenly, and now she's on a journey to recovery and completely embracing total healing and an experience in life that she's never experienced before until surgery, until the great physician allowed the manifestation of healing to take place in the land. It didn't have to be that way. There are people that go through life and they suffer and suffer and suffer out of fear, and fear perpetuates the suffering. We have to lay down fear and pick up faith. And so I think this is one of those situations where God is reflecting that within this situation. Anybody else want to share? Anybody else want to share? The door is open.
Hey, Ray. This is Moxie. Hey, good morning.
Hey, Moxie girl.
Hey, it's just such a beautiful declaration. And you know what, I was, to be honest, I was just sitting here thinking, and Holy Spirit, I just kept on hearing issue of, like, no matter what the issue is, right? Because when, you know, of course she had the issue of blood, and, you know, even when I thought about, like, as far as in back in those times, you know, the unclean, you have to be, you know, set aside somewhere else, you know,
right,
you couldn't be,
right.
You know,
isolated.
Touch this, you couldn't come in us. Synagogue or all that stuff. So, you know,
right.
It's just, you know, a lot, like you were saying, that she had to bear and just think, though, you know, she still had to take care of herself. So she was, you know, doing some things that was against, you know, the law, I'm pretty sure, you know, as far as to make ends meet, you know, hiding the blood, probably still touching things that they say she wasn't supposed to do because she was unclean, you know, stuff like that. I was just picturing, I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying, going through life like that, you know. But still, you know, thank God for the hope that she still, when she heard about, you know, God, just knowing, just imagining, I just imagine her hearing about him. And that was struck up in her, like, I gotta go see him. I gotta, you know, that press. And then when she probably finally saw him before, it's all these people, you better get up out my way. I gotta get to him. Like, I got to know if he can help me. Like, come on, God.
Yeah.
But I thought about just even in that, the issues and my issues, you know what I'm saying? Like, far as issues from, you know how we, the issues that from our traumas that we have probably been, you know, been through throughout our life, or situations that, you know, we haven't truly grown emotionally, you know what I'm saying, or whatnot, healthy. So I was like, wow, Father, you know, in that he says, you know, bring those issues. Like, that's all I keep hearing. You know, that, like, all the issues, you know, press them to me and allow him to, you know what I'm saying, work it out in me. But, yeah, I was just wanted to say thank you for your declaration. And just looking at it in my, giving me that imagination, look at it from all angles, not just in her blood, but all issues.
Right.
Yeah,
all of the issues matter. It is not just a bleeding issue. It's whatever ailments, whatever has kept us from receiving wholeness, whatever that is. I think one thing that in while you were speaking, the visual I got was how in that, because the Jewish law was, again, yes, you got it right, you're not supposed to be around other people because you're ceremonially unclean, right? You're not supposed to be gathering around these people. You're supposed to be at home, isolated, in the enclosure. Like, nobody should be interacting with you and engaging in that space. And she defied human law to even be in that crowd of people. It wasn't just one person that she was around. She found herself amongst a crowd of people. And had Jesus decided not to heal her, she would have to have leave if they would have dragged her out. And that could have been a death sentence for her for violating their law. But so Jesus's decision to heal her changed the trajectory, not only of her bleeding, but of her life. It elongated her lifespan, in my opinion, because there's no telling what would have happened if he would have left there and they would have found the bleeding woman amongst these people in this crowd where she did not belong and she was violating these people's law. Because in that time, them people didn't play about them laws. Listen, if we say, don't cross the street with your big toe out, you better not do it or we're going to cut your toe off and your head too in front of your family. Like, it just some crazy things happening and we don't really understand the grace of God until there is a capacity and a space that we need him so badly that we will disregard what man says just to get to what God says. So that really stuck out when you were talking. Thank you so much. Anybody else want to share?
I just want to add something. When Moxie, that was so beautiful what you were saying, because it made me go back to that issue of blood. And I love the Bible because it does, it always brings me back home to life application things. Mm-hmm. And but she was pressing that press through. I guess that's the message I'm getting today. The press, keep pressing through in the long suffering, because with the issue of blood, she had to be exhausted, you know,
yeah,
and
she
just
was exhausted.
What it's, look how tired, like,
yeah,
we get from like 5 days or whatever, but you know what I'm saying?
Listen.
So she, what she went through for 12 years,
yes. Yes.
And the pressing through, yeah, that long suffering. So I just thought that was so beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Anybody else want to share? Anybody else want to share? The door is open. Going once, going twice. If nobody else wants to share, we have 7:21 and we're going to shut the show down. This has been a great, great, great morning. This has been a great breakfast. This has been a great time. This has been a great moment of engagement and impartation and revelation. And I want to pray that you all have a wonderful rest of your day. I'm going to give you a little time back. And you can go on to your workplaces. You can hang up. And you ain't got to use your work voice and pretend that you're on the phone talking to people about work. So I hope you guys have a great day. Y'all have a good day, all right?
You as well.
You too.
Thank
you,
everyone.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good day. God bless.
Have a blessed day today.
Have a blessed day.
Go and peace. Oh, Jesus.